Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
Like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sound. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is a war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello, friends. Welcome to another edition of Call to Decision. I'm Jerry Barrett, happy to fill in for Pastor Butch. He called me yesterday morning and he said, Jerry, can you help a brother out? And I said, I'd be happy to. I understand why everybody listens to Pastor Butch, because I love the guy. I think he is an outstanding human being. He said that he wanted me to tell everybody that he is on the mend and he's hoping to go home tomorrow. And if the Lord is willing, he'll be in the office on Thursday. And hopefully he'll be able to take some phone calls from you if you need to get a hold of him. But you're stuck with me tonight, and I'm thankful for the opportunity. You know, I just got back. My wife and I went on a joyous vacation. I don't get very many of those, but we spent 10 days up in Yellowstone and the Grand Tetons and had a beautiful time. My wife is an animal lover. I like them, especially if they're good to eat. No, I'm just kidding. But now she wanted to see all the critters and see him up close and personal, not like the fella that got tossed in there by the bison, but not that close. But she wanted to see the moose and the bears, and she got a chance to see almost every critter she wanted to see up there. So it was joyous, but we got back Sunday morning, and I'm still trying to catch up. And, whew, man, vacations take it out of you, don't they? And then I come back in, and I start looking to see what is happening in the news, and I'm trying to catch up, because where we were at, there was no signal other than when we was in the hotel room. We had a little bit of Wi-Fi, but by the time I got back to the room, we were tired, so we went to sleep. But I see that Section 219 of the NDAA for 2027 hasn't been touched, and I see that Thomas Massie got on Twitter, and he announced that the rule passed with no debate or vote, which means that Section 219 is going to be included in this NDAA Act that goes for a full vote in the House. And I think it's going to happen tomorrow. Oh, my. A lot of people don't understand what this NDAA does. But this will create a permanent, not a temporary, but a permanent U.S. and Israel military merger inside the Pentagon. This means full integration of defense technology, cyber technology, artificial intelligence, biotech, and straight-up intelligence. This will lock America and Israel together at the hip. And I don't know how this is not considered treasonous. And I say that, but it is treason when you find out that 93 out of 100 United States senators, 93, were funded by Israel. And you wonder why we are in such deep trouble. 50 Republican senators voted to merge our military with Israel. I'm looking at the names. Of course, Ted Cruz was going to do it. John Cornyn did it. Tom Cotton. Kennedy from Louisiana. Blackburn from Tennessee. Murkowski from Alaska. Scott from Florida. This Tommy Tuberville from Alabama. 50 U.S. Republican senators are going to vote to pass this merger. But it's not going to stop there. They are going to try to push the ADL definition of anti-Semitism. And that hate speech law will affect all of us, especially anybody who has the gumption to question whether or not Israel is God's chosen people, if they are committing a genocide in Gaza, in Lebanon. That will be a hate speech, and you will be subject to arrest. Tom Cotton has an intelligence bill that's going to make intelligence sharing irreversible. Every president in the future will not be able to reduce cooperation. And you say, well, that's not such a big deal. They're our ally. No, 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 they're not. The only reason we started anything with Iran was because Israel threatened to bomb the tar out of Iran, and Trump jumped on the sword that Bibi Netanyahu stuck in front of him and committed our U.S. military to this conflict with Iran. And now Israel is distancing themselves from this conflict. Now they're too busy bombing Syria, Lebanon, trying to increase their territory as part of the Greater Israel Project. If any of you ever listen to Tex Mars, you know that this is fact. And this NDAA Act is another stepping stone to replacing America First. This is an Israel First agenda. Thomas Massie got voted out in his primary to an AIPAC candidate. One of the few people that didn't take any money from AIPAC or any Israel lobby. Now, he supported Trump in a number of things. But anything that would benefit Israel First was not on Thomas Massie's bingo card, and he would vote against it. Same thing happened to Marjorie Taylor Greene. She wouldn't kowtow to the Israel First agenda that Trump has implemented. Doubt me not, because recently Trump was interviewed on the jetway as he was fixing to get on Air Force One and go somewhere. And he said, Israel loves me. I could run for prime minister and they would vote me in. He's supposed to be America First. But now the true color is coming out because he's a lame duck. He can't run for president again. Well, he can try. But he can't legally can't do it unless there is a constitutional amendment. But Trump is so popular with Israel, do you blame him? No. Why wouldn't he be? Because he has sent billions of taxpayer dollars to Israel. Therein lies, but he's not the only one. I found this on Twitter. Daniel McAdams tweeted this. He said, this needs to end now. It's the AIPAC tracker. And it says how much money each U.S. state has given to Israel. Texas is at $1.4 billion. That's close. I think New York is at $1.4 billion. Florida is at $1.3 billion. Money sent to Israel. But the kicker, all the way out on the left coast, in California, they have sent $2.8 billion. But don't think your state isn't sending its fair share. Nevada, $171 million. Well, that makes sense when you figure in the Adelsons, Sheldon and Miriam. I know Sheldon's passed away, but Miriam's got all that casino money. Washington State, $558 million. Oregon, $194 million. Arizona, $315 million. It's ridiculous. Oklahoma, $118 million. Nebraska, $124 million. Colorado, $360 million. Even the smaller states are sending tens of millions of dollars to prop up Israel. Why? They are not God's chosen people. Contrary to what we were taught back in Sunday school and back going to church when I was a youngin', everybody wants to say that Israel is God's chosen people. But a Jew tells us the truth. The Apostle Paul, Saul of Tarsus, who was there with the stoning of Stephen, the first martyr, who loved targeting Christians, Christ followers, before he went to Damascus. In Galatians 3, 26 through 29, that's where you read Paul, a Jew, a born-again, Christ-following Christian apostle, said, if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. That says it right there. But you won't hear anything like that preached on Sunday. I heard a story, Tex told it one day in the office, that when he started speaking out about the Jews and Israel, he was at a conference. And another pastor and his wife went to dinner with Tex and Wanda. His name was Arno Froese, F-R-O-E-S-E. And Arno told Tex, look, if you want to make money in your ministry, you need to support the Jews. If you support Israel and the Jews, I can guarantee you that you'll be awash with money. And Tex couldn't do it. And I've talked with Pastor Chuck Baldwin up in Montana. And I read an article that he wrote where he apologized for misleading people about Jews being God's chosen people. He said he would spend the rest of his life trying to correct that error and teaching the truth. That, man, can you imagine? You go through seminary and you become pretty big in the religious right movement. You can call Jerry Swalwell and he'll send his jet and come get you. This was back, I guess, during the Reagan administration. But the religious right was pretty powerful. And Chuck was there. And Chuck denounced that organization, left it, moved from Florida to Montana. And he's not afraid to speak out on the truth. But when you see the amount of money each state is sending to Israel, it's sickening. We have enough problems in this country that does not have enough funding that we should be taking care of our own before we give any away. You know, here at Power Prophecy, the ministry I'm at, Tex had a saying, and I believe it wholeheartedly, that he wanted you to pay your bills, make sure you had plenty of food to eat, and that you were taken care of. And if you had any left over, and the Lord put it on your heart to send it to us, then he would happily take it. He didn't say, give me all your money, and if you have enough faith, you'll get your bills paid somehow. He was always worried about everybody that supported the ministry having enough to take care of themselves first. And that's what these states and these cities should be doing. We should be taking care of our own people before we worry about sending money anywhere else in the world. And I've had arguments with people. I'm a firm believer that we need to close our bases. NATO is about worthless. We need to pull funding from that. And we need to bring our service members home. And if we need to, put them on the border to secure our border. You know, Israel's got walls all over the place. Keep the Palestinians out. They have checkpoints. And if a Palestinian works inside Israel, they have to go through a checkpoint twice a day, if they're lucky enough to have work. So I don't understand why all of the demon rats and independents had such an issue with the wall being put up between the U.S. and Mexico, and the U.S. and Canada. We should secure our border. I've been called an isolationist, I guess, maybe. It is a small world when you get to the grand plan, but we should be taking care of our own first, not worrying about other countries until we are taken care of. We have veterans who have mental trauma, that are homeless, that should be getting treatment. But we don't have enough money. We're running a deficit. Why? Because we're financing military bases around the world. We are sending billions, and I mean billions of dollars, to Israel, both military support, weaponry, as well as cold hard cash. And we have people in Appalachia that don't have any food. We've got people all across this country who don't have a house, a place to stay. And we also shut down all of our mental health facilities. I know we had two here in Austin. And when they shut it down, that's when the homeless population exploded. And we keep throwing good money after bad. Well, we need to buy up hotels and put them in a room. These people have mental issues. They do not want to be inside a building. You'll see them outside in the winter. Now, we don't get winter like everybody does in the north. We may get 2 weeks of it. But they're still out in the woods. So the government, local government, buys up blankets, puts them in hotel rooms for a night. California buys them needles, drugs, gives it to them. That's not helping the problem, throwing good money after bad. We have the same issue with our educational system. We spend more per student today than countries that are performing much better than us as far as the educational side. Teachers are underpaid. Unions have too much power. And the unions are controlling the curriculum. Where did we go wrong when we quit teaching the three R's? Reading, writing, arithmetic. Nowadays, we allocate an 8-hour day. We allocate 40 minutes for those three subjects. You throw in 30 minutes for lunch. But that's 150 minutes, 4 hours. The other half of the day is spent on propagandizing our children. Why do you think so many of them started claiming they were transgenders? Because I'm gonna hazard a guess and say 90% of all teachers in the public school system, and I know Pastor Butch calls it the public school system, are liberals. They are flaming liberals. And they are pushing this transgender agenda. They are pushing homosexuality. They are against the parents, at least the ones that care. All you got to do is look at what happened in Loudoun County, Virginia. The liberals are everywhere, from administration down to the teachers, even teachers' aides. And they keep pushing these communist agendas, trying to destroy the nuclear family, trying to subvert parental rights. And it's a vicious cycle. Vicious. It is destroying the fabric of this once great nation. All you have to do is go out and look and see what the children are doing. We have a parenting problem. If you see on the news that there was a teen takeover, they ransacked a couple stores and they stole and looted and destroyed at 1 o'clock in the morning. How is this possible? Other than the parents want to be their best friend or their single parent homes. And the kids run the roost. And if you watch much TV or any, I remember back late 90s, early 2000s, every television show, comedy-wise, that was family-based, seemed to have the children running the household. They back-talked to the parents. There was no discipline. And that is parenting today. we have taken the lead from what Hollywood depicted as humorous, and we're following that blueprint. And I think Pastor Butch and I have talked about this before. I know I've said it on my show. Back in the 30s and 40s, when people only had radio and print media, but when they listened to the radio, Edward R. Murrow comes to mind. I'm not that old, but I'm up there. But when the newscast came on, people could tell. They had power of discernment. They could tell by the voice and the inflection of the speaker whether they were lying or not. And then they invented television, and the picture is worth more than 1,000 words. And they have used that propaganda tool to perfection on the populace, especially here in the United States. And it seems that even Hollywood movies keep throwing out different scenarios that are far-fetched. But I believe that it is propaganda to see how the American people are going to react to this certain message that they're trying to put out there. Is there subliminal messaging going on? I don't know. I've seen some clips where, yes, it just flashes in front of your eyes before you can focus on it, but it's there, and they are programming us. Is that what's going on with TV and the cinema? Quite possible. But we have lost our power of discernment. We don't understand what's truth and what's lie. And controlled media will feed you a story, and you listen to it, and the power of discernment is gone, and you start thinking, well, this is telling the truth. So I must think like this. But we don't realize that they have changed language and slanted it a certain direction, predominantly towards the left, to make us try to go that way. Social media has poisoned the children. Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, all of that. It's propaganda tools that the government is using on us. Well, I can tell by the music we're halfway done. Thank you for tuning in to Call to Decision. We got to take a break. When I come back, we're going to dive right back in. Thank you so much for listening.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Hi, folks. Pastor Butch Paul here. I'm certain that I don't need to tell y'all we're living in unstable times, or as the Bible says, perilous times. We're starting to see shortages of many products in America, cars, clothing, furniture, and even food. We can't do much about the cars, clothing, and furniture, but we can with the food, simply by calling the man of foods, the best in store foods at bar none. They have a shelf life over 25 years, are great tasting, no GMOs, no chemical preservatives, no aspartame or high fructose corn syrup, and no MSGs. Give the man a call at 888-597-0775. That's 888-597-0775. Or go to namana.com. Mention that Pastor Butch sent you and get a 10% discount. That's 888-597-0775. You'll be glad you did.
Hi there, and thank you so much for listening. This is Summer. I'm owner and operator here at Superior Mountain Herbs. Please visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com. You can always call or text 406-274-7579. We'd be happy to assist you with any of your health and wellness needs, whether you're currently combating serious disease and infection like cancer, or you're just simply looking to keep your body in great shape and maintain what God has already given you. You can visit us and we would absolutely love to help you. Once again, visit us at www.superiormountainherbs.com or give us a call at 406-274-7579 to get your hands on some of the most incredible handcrafted, organic, and wildcrafted supplements on the planet. SuperiorMountainHerbs.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here. A lot of y'all are asking me to give our address out on the air, and I never take time during the interviews, but here's our address. If you want to write to us, send us a letter, say hello, or place an order, or whatever you want to do, our address is simple. It's Pastor Butch Paul, P-A-U-G-H, or call to Decision Ministries. The address is 224 Herd. That's spelled H-U-R-D. 224 Herd Road, Nettie, N-E-T-T-I-E, N-E-T-T-I-E, West Virginia, 26681. 224 Herd Road, Nettie, West Virginia, 26681. There you go. Thanks a lot.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cedarstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is a war. Hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello, friends. Jerry Barrett back with you again. Before the break, I was talking about how social media is programming the youth to just go out and seemingly run amok with no repercussion. Parents aren't around, if they are, they're not as active as they should be. You know, it starts when they're young. On our flight back, we were in Bozeman Airport, and a family with two young boys, though a mom had to use the facilities. He was a toddler, maybe three, just throws a huge conniption right there in the airport. And dad is at wit's end, it seems like. And you have to wonder what his parents did when he was a young child, whether they instilled discipline in him or not, because he didn't do anything. He let the child lay on the floor, scream and kick and holler, started swatting at his dad. You know, I remember, oh boy, I tried that once. Now, I didn't swat at my dad, but I retaliated against my mom. She was a farm girl from Kansas. Let me tell you, she was tough. And she swatted my behind like you would not believe. Not abuse, not a beating, but she disciplined me in front of everybody. And we would go to the commissary, you know, once a month. My dad was in the Air Force. And my middle brother and I were, five, six, seven. And we would walk with mom through the commissary and we'd start grabbing stuff off a shelf and we would stay behind and she would go around the corner. She thought we were with her, but we weren't. And if we were caught misbehaving by another person, male or female, didn't matter, they would take us by the arm and they would lead us to our mother, asking where she was. And she would have a fit right there in front of everybody. And she would scold me and my little brother. And if we needed a SWAT, we'd get one. But back then, even if you swatted a misbehaving child's backside, and then you took them to the parent and you told them what they had done and what you had done, they would thank you. Now, they would call CPS and have the police come arrest you for assaulting their child. Our sense of discipline is out of whack. And we don't seem to care to return to disciplining our children. I know when my wife Leslie was teaching, she was attacked twice by the same child. She demanded the child be removed from her classroom both times, and finally, after the second attack, they took this child out. But the administration handcuffed the teachers. The school board has handcuffed the teachers. The legislators, state and federal, have handcuffed teachers from having any discipline in the classroom. I remember one time in second grade, I was creating a ruckus. And Mrs. Coopwood was my second grade teacher, and I love that woman today. That was a long time ago, let me tell you. But I remember her name because I respect her to this day. She has been with Jesus a long time, but I still respect that woman today. When I created that ruckus, she walked me to the hall with a couple of my friends, drew a circle on the cinder block wall, told me to stick my nose in there, and she would come and get me when I was ready to come back and behave in her classroom. It felt like I was out there for 2 days. But I guarantee you, I did not misbehave in any classroom after that. That is parenting. That is caring for the well-being and the civilized society to discipline a petulant child. My mom is in heaven, but she is, in my eyes, best mom ever. Because she didn't let us get away with all of the things that are going on today. If we got out of line, she put us back on the straight and narrow. And I think that's what parents are supposed to do. I know everybody back then said, spare the rod, spoil the child. I'm a devotee. I think that's the way it should be. But with social media and the fact that kids, 7, 8, 9, have their own cell phone, and I know they say, well, we've got parental controls. Do you really? There were supposed to be parental controls on the school laptops when Leslie was teaching. And there were kids. I don't know if it was in her classroom or others. They would get on YouTube and pull up pornography. That doesn't sound like it's got much parental control. But that's today's children. They're not taught right from wrong. If you remember a while back, there was a fad called the Knockout Club. And punks, teenage punks, would walk down the street and just randomly pick somebody and punch them in the face, knock them down, knock them out. Some died, some suffered brain injuries, and they would walk off. Well, now with everybody with cameras, they are using that to get likes and follows and build up their footprint, so to speak, on social media. We had the Tide Pod Challenge, where kids were eating Tide Pods. There was the Cinnamon Challenge, where kids would put cinnamon, a tablespoon of cinnamon, and they would put it in their mouth and swallow it. Kids got hurt from that. But it was a rage. And now there's something new. It's called swerving, where these teenage kids are on a bicycle. They'll pop a wheelie and drive straight at somebody who's walking down a sidewalk or a street. And somebody's filming. And at the very last minute, they swerve. And they just want to get the reaction of people being scared to their wits' end for a laugh, to create a bigger footprint on social media. They're even doing this to oncoming traffic. And at the last minute, they swerve, and then somebody is capturing the video. And I think it's funny. But what if they don't swerve? And they knock somebody my age down. We hit our head on the concrete, asphalt, whatever. We break a bone. We break a hip. We crack our skull. We go into a coma and die. What happens then? The kids have no clue because they haven't been trained or taught that this is wrong, that they are a criminal. You know, the only way that we are going to get discipline back in the home is if we start arresting parents for the actions of their children. Social media is now a global stage for cruel and sadistic behavior. But if we start putting these teens in jail, we start putting their parents in jail, maybe we can put an end to this nonsense. I've seen video where police show up for these teen takeovers in the intersections where they're cutting donuts and just mobs of kids. And it's all colors. It's black, white, brown. It's not a racial thing at all. It is out of control teens with a mob mindset. And they think this is great. And then they go in and loot and destroy. Cops show up. They start attacking the police cars, set them on fire. They need to arrive en masse and arrest. But who knows? They get one on the ground and five or six of them come to their defense and they beat the tar out of a cop. But there's always video online. They need to start. And we've got all these tools, facial recognition. We've got, flock cameras, it seems like, everywhere. Maybe putting the parents behind bars will rectify this situation. I don't know. This country has gone to hell in a handbasket, to put it politely. There are a number of great people in this country. Good, hardworking Americans, raising the children right. But there are too many that are allowing their children to be terrorists in this country. It's a sad state. It is a sad state of affairs. And, you know, part of what I do preparing for each week's radio program, I'm constantly surfing news sites and not mainstream. I'm alternative media, and then I'm verifying things, trying to make sure that what I have to say is as factual as I can possibly get. If I'm ever called out on something that I was wrong, I will fess up. Hasn't happened yet because I do my due diligence. But there is so many nefarious activities going on throughout this nation. We've got voter rolls where illegals are not allowed to vote, but they're instantly put on when they're given a driver's license. Some of them choose to vote, some of them don't. But they're not legal citizens, so they do not have a right to vote. Michigan is fighting this. And the sad thing is about Michigan, the overseer of elections, the Secretary of State, is now running for governor. Nothing to see here, right? Nothing to see here. She is fighting every Department of Justice issue where they are trying to get her to clean up the voter rolls to make sure that the election is fair and even. But it's more than that. It's media. It's the police. They are doctoring arrest reports to try to even out the race of criminals. I came across this on Twitter from Matt Van Swall. In North Carolina, the crime stats that they're reporting, he said he was researching a case and I noticed something odd. An Hispanic suspect was labeled as Hispanic, but in other arrests, he was listed as Caucasian. Espinosa Santiago was listed as a suspect. Well, that, to me, that tells me he was Hispanic. But he, in another one, he was listed as a Caucasian. But what? Santiago Garcia Herrera, also on one arrest report listed as Hispanic. The next one he's listed as unknown. Well, why is this happening? Gabriel Aviles, one arrest, he is Hispanic. This was back in March of last year. 4 months later, he was arrested again, and he's listed as Caucasian. They are doctoring the arrest reports to even out. So when they report to the FBI their arrests and their ethnicity of these inmates, they are listing them as Caucasian to try to even things out. What good is that? Well, when the FBI compiles their report, they can show that white people are doing more crime. It's all about changing the narrative. Doesn't matter if it's factual or not. It's changing the narrative. Because they're trying to show that they are not, that there is no racial divide as far as the number of people that are being incarcerated. But then true researchers, like John Lott, they start finding these discrepancies. And my brother, my baby brother, was reading me some statistics. And I had heard this before, but he'd come across something. And I had heard that there are more white people killed by the police than black people. And it sounds kind of strange, doesn't it? But when you start looking at true facts, true statistics, if they are entered correctly, true stats don't lie. And he said 3% of officer-involved shootings with white people lead to the death of the white person, suspect. 1% leads to the death of a black suspect. That's pretty straightforward. But controlled media doesn't want you to hear that. When there is a mass shooting event, if it is somebody like, oh, the kid from Sandy Hook, he was white. Well, that gets put in the news. But the shooter in San Bernardino, California, was a Muslim. The shooter at Fort Hood here in Texas was a Muslim. But they refuse to tell you the ethnicity of anybody that is not white. And then you had the mass shooting at the school by a mentally ill transgender person. Well, they wouldn't say that this person was a transgender because they're slanting the narrative. They want you to think that transgenderism is okay. It's normal. That is something that we need to live with, get along, accept. And that is what controlled media is doing. They are propagandizing crime stats that are doctored. There was a police chief or assistant to the chief in Washington, D.C. Got caught doctoring the data. Got charged and got fired. Doctoring the data to fit a narrative. Now, if you want to be a tranny, I understand that that is a mental illness. Whether the World Health Organization will admit it or not, they have been compromised. But I know it's a mental illness. And I know a lot of these mass shootings that are done by these transgender and teens are because they're on some kind of psychotropic drug. If they're transgender, they're doing all these hormone treatments, and it is totally messing up their chemical balance in their brain. There was a report of a Central Florida college student going bonkers. This is a 27-year-old man, claims to be female, going bonkers at a cop. And he starts screaming and jumping up and down and screaming when the cop says he. Okay. If you want to be a transgender, you think you're a chick, but you're a dude. Okay. I don't have to accept it. I'm not going to accept it. You're a dude. Because that's the way you were born. Whether your mental illness took place after you've been programmed by a teacher or the educational system or whatever. Maybe your mom wanted to have a girl and you came out and she spent her whole lifetime telling you you were supposed to be a girl. And you start putting on a dress. But you... when you start acquiescing and saying, okay, that's a chick, you are feeding into the propaganda and the mind control that the powers that be want you to do. They don't want you to be part of reality. They want you to go along. So this dude just goes bonkers on a cop when he calls him a him. He says that the officer gets on his radio and says he needs backup because he is being a problem. He's a dude. He's not misgendered. He's a dude. Whether you're a chick or not doesn't matter. If you think you're a chick, we know it's a mental illness. When America allowed the Supreme Court to legislate from the bench and legalize gay marriage, that was the beginning of the destruction of the nuclear family. It had already been going on for a number of years. They started getting rid of sodomy laws. Now they got rid of it here in Texas. We legalized abortion from the bench. Then we legalized from the bench gay marriage. All this was done was to destroy the nuclear family. And I've heard black pastors like Reverend Jesse Lee Peterson out in California talk about the black community, that they were better off before the Civil Rights Act was put into law as a nuclear family. After that, men quit being fathers and started just being donors. He didn't quit it. Have 12 kids from 12 different women. When you destroy the nuclear family, then you create little anarchists like you see with Antifa. People of that ilk. And that's what legalizing gay marriage has done. It has put a death knell on the nuclear family. Can we fix it? Yes, we can. We got to get the weak-kneed and the namby-pamby liberal pastors out of the pulpit. We need to get back to a biblical lifestyle. We need to get back to discipline our children. We need to get back to God. Well, I want to thank you for giving me an hour of your time tonight. Pastor Butch will be back with you soon. Hold him up in your prayers. Thank you so much, my friends. God bless each and every one of you.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.